now I'm healed and whole. I just turned my knee when I arrived here 2 days ago. So I'll get that out of the way, and then I'll forget about it. I went to a meeting one time, and I had two pairs of shoes that were made just alike, just different colors. I got there with one of each. Everybody told me nobody noticed it, but I was so aware of it that till I stopped and called all their attention to it, I couldn't get on. So I'm not limping because I need to, I'm healed. Okay. Amen. Okay, got that out of the way. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you, God, for the anointing that's in this place. Oh, Father God, your Son Jesus is here. Holy Ghost, you are here. Oh, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for the privilege you gave us to worship you this morning and to know that it brings you joy. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you. We ask for your anointing on the word. We ask, Father, that our lives be changed. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you go with me, please, to Matthew 22 and verse 37. When we are at home as pastors, of course, we teach from one end of the Bible to the other. But when I travel, God puts me in the giftings that are special for travel for me. And the big thing that I see is people emotionally healed and set free, physically healed and set free. And so that's where we're going to believe the Holy Ghost to take us today. And sometimes it's knowledge that he brings forth that you need for your child, for your grandchild, maybe not for you. But you leave here with an awareness. This is the key that I have been looking for, Lord God. In Matthew 22, verse 37, let's read that before we get started. Jesus had just been asked the question, "What is the greatest commandment?" And he answered in verse 37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the first and the great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." If we keep those two commandments, we will keep the law of God. We will not break a single one of the Ten Commandments if we keep these two things. No man will commit adultery, or no woman will commit adultery if she loves her neighbor as herself. Nobody will be unfaithful to God if they love him with all their heart. There will be things that we will lay down that maybe the world can do, but we lay it down because we love him with all of our heart. And there are things that we say no to that the world thinks is so wonderful to do. And maybe we say, well, we wouldn't be breaking the Ten Commandments, but somehow our relationship with the Holy Ghost or with Jesus would be affected. And because we love him with our whole heart, that's not important. You know, our time here on earth is so small in comparison to eternity. Amen. And in comparison to everything that Jesus has for us. I had a dream one time in which God told me that people do not walk in the fullness of what he has provided for them. And he said, Paula, when you teach, I want you to let them know I have provided for everything they need to live a successful life here on earth. We know that he died, that we could be forgiven from all of our sins. Hallelujah. We can be born again. And it doesn't matter what we've done. His blood was great enough to forgive us. Well, I was raised in the Baptist church. I got that down good. I understand it. But then God began to teach me, well, Paula, that wasn't all I did. I paid the price for you to be healed physically. I got a physical healing. Hallelujah. Then I found out he heals our broken heart. Everything we've been through. But then I found out he will heal our self-image. He will heal the way we look at ourselves. How does he do that? By causing us to look at Jesus, who is in us, and what Jesus has done for us. If I could give a shout, my shout would be, Jesus is in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. And when Jesus is in the house, everything we need is available. We just have to say, show me how to walk into it, Father. I tell everybody that when I grew up, the big thing, we had these big, heavy ropes. And at school, we played jump the rope. You know, the whole class would be lined up to jump. And sometimes at our school, they'd throw the rope backwards. Have any of y'all ever jumped that type of rope? Well, I'm not real good at getting in it when it's going backwards. But I had a girlfriend. She'd stand there. She'd get this rhythm going. And then she would jump. She never missed. She was so beautiful to watch as she did it. And God began to show me, getting into the flow of the Holy Spirit is kind of like that. It's not so as easy as getting in the flow of the world. That's easy. You just run and you're in it. But with the Holy Ghost, you get in a rhythm. And when you get in that rhythm and he says go, you're right on target. You go right into the jump. And that's what he's wanting to happen in our lives. We are to become aware of everything he's done. Dr. Hagen had a book out, a little booklet called In Him. If you have never purchased that book, it could be one of the most valuable books you ever purchase, because it takes all the scriptures that tell us who we are in him. And that's our true identity. The identity that we got from the way our parents talked to us, or the way our teachers talked to us, or the way our siblings, that's not who we are. But it's often who we think we are, because we grew up. Many people grew up with a parent that said, you're just lazy, or you're just stupid. Daniel used to play with our children, and he's a big teaser. And he would tell the little one, your daddy's little dummy. And that was a loving phrase from him. But it built an image in that baby. And when she got into kindergarten and they were teaching them a certain type of math, and she had a little bit of trouble right at first, she just cried. She said, I'm just daddy's little dummy. And we had to break the power of the words. That girl is so smart. She has a double master. She's home preaching for me today. She's awesome. But our joking even can build an image. You know, we tell couples jesting may get you a laugh, but it's one of the most dangerous things married couples can do. A jesting usually puts a dagger in somebody pretending to be funny, but you're really taking what's in your heart, usually with a jest, and stabbing somebody. And we have to make quality decisions. I'm not going to do that. Do you know, I had a period of time I was pretty good at jesting. And then somebody did a jest on me that broke my heart. And I never did it again. Don't wait till you get wounded like I did to realize how dangerous a jest is. Didn't intend to go there, so there's somebody. God wants you to know I'm talking to you to bring wholeness into your life. Whenever God said to us what we just read, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, everything, you love the Lord. Then he said, love your neighbor. But he said, as yourself. If you do not love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. So we see we've got to be healed towards ourselves. We've got to see our value. We've got to see that Jesus would have died for you. Are you? If you were the only one who was going to accept Jesus, he would have still gone into the cross for any one of mankind. We're valuable. We're valuable to God. And people, that's a part of the way we get healing. We read it in the scripture and we speak it out. God, I'm glad I'm important to you. Amen. Amen. Nobody else may see my value, but you do, God. And I thank you for your love. And when you don't feel loved, you can say, thank you, God. You understand. You love me. He knows all of my thoughts, all of my failures, everything about me, and he loves me. I am so convinced of God's love. And when we become convinced, we change. And when we change, our whole families change. When Daniel and I begin to change and get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of God, my whole family was affected. Daniel's family was affected. And all the people we come in contact with can be affected. So we get to change things. So we have to love ourselves. And if we don't, we hinder our love walk. We can't love our neighbor if we don't love ourselves right. Because it says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. We cannot love God and not love our neighbor. Because God loves them. You see people who say, well, I don't love so and so and so and so. If you're in love with Jesus, you love everybody. Amen. You love the undesirable even because Jesus does. And you love him. You know, I came to know a lot of people because of who I loved. They loved him. That was their family. So they became precious to me. All right, so the thing that today God wants us to deal with is anyone who has low self-esteem or who has a low self-image. And sometimes we can have a bad self-image in one area. Daniel had the self-image that he couldn't do math. He's a very smart man, but he played hooky as a child. During the time they were teaching the beginning to algebra. So because of that, he went from being an excellent student in his math to thinking he was a dummy. Well, I had the opinion that there wasn't anybody I couldn't teach math to. From the time I was in the 9th grade, my teacher would leave the room and I would be the teacher for a while. And that was my major. One of them, math and English both, but the English was God's side, the math was my side, I thought. So I thought there wasn't anyone I couldn't teach, and I was going to help him get his degree. Well, after a while with him, I was beginning to think there was one person I couldn't teach. But we finally made it through the algebra, and he did good. So now he had to take a trig class. The night before the test, we went through every problem in the book, and I said, "See, honey, I told you could do algebra." He said, "What do you mean, algebra? This is trig." I said, "Trig's nothing but algebra." He went in and failed the test. Didn't fail it, but dropped from his A to a C because of a self-image. He hadn't got the self-image broken. And my words nearly destroyed him because he thought, "Oh my gosh, she said this is algebra and I can't do algebra." So he walked in to take his test and dropped from his good score to a lower score. Self-image. Well, that's just in a class. What about if your self-image is you're not a good husband and you'll never be a good husband? You're not a good wife. You'll never be you couldn't be a good mother, maybe. Those type affect all of us. Or if we think, "God, I could never get up and answer the call that you have on me because I know me. I know Jesus." And that's where our thought must be. The Jesus in me is going to take care of this. Well, how do we get these low self-esteems? How does that happen? A lot of times it happens in the womb before we're ever born. Can you imagine what it may be like for these children whose parents tried to get an abortion, and even though they went through the deal, they lived, and they know are children that weren't wanted? This opens them up to a spirit of rejection. And if that rejection isn't dealt with, they may live their life not seeing themselves as valuable, not seeing themselves as worth anything. And it says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." As long as we think we're not, thank you, as long as we think we're not valuable, as long as we think it doesn't matter to anybody whether we live or die, we don't have that spunk in our life that gives us the energy to fulfill God's call. And that is so important. Before we were born, God planned a plan for us. People we're to touch. People whose lives will be changed because of us. You know, we had been traveling to Lubbock to the hospital with a young man that had dropped in a coma. When we walked in, the doctor told us that he had how many diseases? Eight, seven?
He had seven, but I found another one.
He told us he had seven diseases. He could die overnight from any one. But he actually had eight. They just didn't find the eighth one for a couple of days. And we were there weekend after weekend, week after week, praying. We stayed in a hotel, and we were up fighting for his life. And finally, he had pulled through the bad part without telling all the details. He pulled through the bad part. He was still in the hospital, and we were going to have a weekend at home. And so my daughter and my grandson were coming down to see us, and we get a phone call. And it's that young man. He said, "Paula, I hate to ask this, but could you please come this weekend? Not for me, but for my wife." They were newlyweds, and yet she was, they'd been married about a year, and she was about 6 months pregnant. And he said, "I don't know what it is. I just know she needs somebody to be with her this weekend." She was staying there at the hospital night and day. So I didn't want to go. I wanted to see my daughter. I wanted to be with my grandson. But how do you say no when you feel the Holy Ghost saying, this is of me? So we got in the car and we went. And that night, I got a phone call at 3 a.m. Paula, would you please come up to the hospital? We were a couple of blocks away at the hotel. Says, something's wrong with my wife. I come in and I'm with her and she has her baby in the toilet. I pull it out of the toilet and God begins to move my fingers over that little baby's chest and he brings the little boy to life. What if I hadn't been there? When the nurses walked in, I mean, I'm hollering over the intercom. We've just had a baby in the toilet. Get down here. Well, they don't rush. They get down there and they just stand and look at me. And their thoughts apparently were, you don't have on gloves. That was one of their thoughts. And then it was only about that big, you know, just a tiny little baby. And I said, okay, nurses, and I'm trying to stay calm for the mama's sake. She's about to panic. I said, okay, nurses, I've done my part. Now it's time for you to do your part. So they put on their gloves, they take the baby, and I run out in the hall and call Daniel. I said, Daniel, told him what happened. I said, get prayer. Well, he goes to pray. He doesn't pray fast. I said, honey, you don't understand. The baby's dead again. You call somebody else, not me. And I run back in. And there's a nurse, I thought. It happened to be the lady doctor. I didn't know. I elbow her out of the way. I figure she's had her time. And the baby's not breathing. And I lay my hand on his stomach, and I've never done this. My hand started going backwards and forth on the bottom of his little belly and on his chest. And all of a sudden, he came to life. He lived. And the doctor said to me the next day when I went in, I said, doesn't he look good? And she said, well, you know why, don't you? I thought she was going to say because they gave him a blood transfusion. He lost a lot of blood. And I said, well, why? She said, because you prayed. See, people, every one of us, I never expected that. I never expected a child's life to be hanging in the balance. They'd already given up on him. When the mother had asked them right before I pushed her out of the way, is my baby okay? They wouldn't answer. They just looked at me like, you tell her. You know, he's dead. But I had heard him give out this little, ah! That was all it was. I said, well, you heard him cry when I did. Of course he's okay. That was faith. Faith takes any little thing that God gives us and we run with it. But then God brought the baby back to life. You see, God has a purpose for each one of us. Each one of our lives are valuable. And God has a purpose in what he wants to do. We have good news. The whole Bible is good news. You can be saved. You can be forgiven. You can be healed. You can be set free from a prison of bondage, addiction, whatever it is that you're in. Amen. You can become a new person full of power and authority and boldness because of all that Jesus has done. I figure I will step over into heaven finding new things that God has provided, and I'm so excited. So we named one of the things that affects people's self-image, and that is what goes on even while we're in our mother's womb. They say that in the Old Testament, that the Hebrew mamas, before their babies were born, would read the Psalms daily to their babies that they spoke God's word over those little children before they were ever born. There are things that we can say to our baby. Oh, I'm so excited that you're coming. You know, it might not have been the time we thought, but it's a proper timing. Amen. If God puts that baby in the womb, it's the right time for the baby to come. One of the things that made me such a believer in Christian schools, and when I say Christian, I don't mean just C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. I mean schools where the teachers love God, love the people, the children, and love themselves, so that the words they speak are encouraging and are life. So we had a Christian school for 28 years, was it? We had a long time, and some of the most beautiful testimonies of what God could do. We had a little girl that had been in school for 3 years, and she was in kindergarten. She could not read. She could not pronounce a single word in phonics. I don't think she could count. The only thing she could do is she could print beautifully if she looked at it and then printed. And she could write the numbers if she looked at them. She could copy, was what she could do. That was her talent, was to be able to copy what she saw. And we had an incident happen in the school where I lost my kindergarten teacher and I had to go in and teach it. Now I'm high school prepared, not kindergarten. So this was quite a challenge for me. And for her, our kindergartners were reading by November, usually. And so I would tell the kids, now, here's your assignment. You go home and read it to your parents and have them sign this paper that you did it. But with her, her big brother had to read it to her and sign that he read it to her. So that was her assignment. And she came back to class this one day and she said, Mrs. Burt, I forgot to take my book home. And she was kind of nervous about it. And she said, so I told God I forgot. And he was going to have to help me. So that night she has a dream. Well, she's not a spiritual little girl. Grandma paid for her to come to our school. Her parents, they didn't go to church. And so I said, you had a dream? And she said, yes, ma'am. And God read my lesson to me. So I don't have my paper signed, but it was read. And, you know, sometimes God just comes in the room and you're aware he's there and something just happened and you don't want to walk away. You want to see what happened. And I said, well, honey, if God read it to you, I bet you can read it to me. I said, would you stand up and read the first page God read? That child stood up and read the whole page. She's never read a word. She couldn't look at A-E-I-O-U and tell you what it sounded like, but she read the whole page. I said, oh, read the next one. She read the whole three pages. My class went wild. They were shouting, and they were saying, Mrs. Bird, can we sing What a Mighty God We Serve? I said, we sure can. And they were dancing all over the room, and I was twirling, and we were rejoicing. What was the key? Every day in that class, they had to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. This little girl who at the beginning would say, I can't read, I can't this, I can't that, I can't memorize that scripture. In fact, she beat most of the class because she had to say it more. Every time you said, I can't, you had to say it. And she had it learned by the time I got into the room. I can do all things through Christ. God can change somebody who thinks they can't do anything. And he can heal them. He's the healer. And when we bring him into our homes, the healer's in the house. We can expect whomever we are affiliated with to be changed, to be healed. When she finished that year, we actually could promote her into first grade. Now she's been in school 4 years. She's in the first grade, and she's as tall as I am. She comes into the first grade, and she finally learns to count to 100. She gets to the second grade, and we're learning to count by twos, and oh my gosh, it's like pulling hair, or pulling teeth. We couldn't get her to understand, to comprehend. But she walked into school one day prissing the way she walked, smarty. And she said, "I can count by twos today." And her teacher said, "Oh, you can?" She said, "Yes, ma'am, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And the teacher didn't believe there was any way she was ever going to count by twos. She had got into doubt and unbelief. She had lost her faith. And the little girl said, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, I can do all things through Christ. Somehow, overnight, God opened up her little mind. And she could count by twos. We learned with our Christian school, there's nobody hopeless. Amen. There is nobody hopeless. And there are some of the most beautiful testimonies of people who kept believing that Jesus paid the price. And though it looked hopeless, there was a way, somehow, some way, that God was going to do a breakthrough. I found out a lot of times in ministry that if there was someone who had a low self-esteem, they would do certain things, a low self-value. One of the things that the parents would come to me and say, "My daughter just yanks her hair out when she combs it or when she brushes it. And everything she says about her hair, my hair is just so ugly, it just looks bad." And usually I would hear that when I had taught about children that were born by C-section or they induced labor before time for the baby to be born. And I was speaking in Ireland, and God was particularly ministering to things that happen in the womb and right after, and there was a midwife there. And she said, "Paula, can I drive you for the rest of your engagements?" And she said, "I asked the pastor, and he said, if it's okay with you." Well, I was going all across Northern Ireland and then going down to Southern Ireland, and she wanted to drive me. Well, what she wanted was to pick my brain because I had said some things that got her attention. She said, "I've noticed when people have certain issues, you will ask them, were you born early?" And she said, "I want to know why." And I said, "Well, I found out that a lot of times, for some reason, there's an issue if they're born like that." And she said, "Well, over here in Ireland, where I am a midwife, doctors don't like to get a phone call at 4 a.m. to deliver a baby. So approximately 2 weeks before every baby is to be born, they set a date, and babies are all being born by C-section." And she said, "I'm seeing issues that are being healed when you pray over people, and they are people that I know were born that way." And she said, "I want to understand." And there's nothing she could do about it. She was just the midwife. But I said to her, "Maybe God has you there to take that little baby and break the spirit of rejection when it's born and break the power of any spirit that would harm his self-image or would harm his self-value." And she found me somehow on YouTube recently and wrote me, and I haven't seen her now for about 15 years or 20. And it was so neat to hear that that's what she's been doing. She's been praying over every little baby being born in the hospital where she is. You see, when God gives the revelation of why someone feels like they do, the power is there to heal them and to set them free. And I would get testimonies back of how free they were. The little boys didn't yank on their hair like the girls, but they would cut themselves with rocks and make scars, like scars made you manly or whatever. Well, here's the point I wanted to get to. My youngest was that way with her hair. It was horrible to watch her comb out her hair. She would just yank on it and talk about how ugly her hair was and how ugly it made her look. And she wasn't ugly, but she had the thinnest hair I ever saw, and we didn't know why it was so thin, unless she was yanking it out when she combed like that. And I had said, God, it looks like I'm talking about my own daughter, but we wanted her. I didn't want an abortion, never even thought of an abortion. And she came to one of my meetings as an adult, and God had me share like that. She came up to me afterwards. She said, Mom, that sounds like me, doesn't it? And I said, yes, honey, but you were wanted and you were planned. And she said, well, why do I do that? I know I still yank my hair when I brush it, and I still think of it as being so ugly. If you could see her, she's a beautiful blonde. You know, it just didn't fit. And I said, well, honey, let's get in agreement. God's going to show us. And so that a couple of nights later, I had a dream. And in the dream, I had a dream in a dream, within a dream. So in my dream, I was very pregnant, and I was using something to try to abort my baby. And in my dream, I woke up, and I said, but I didn't ever do that. And in my dream, when I woke up, God was saying to me, that is why she feels like that. And I'm telling everybody, I tried to abort my baby, and that's why she feels like she does. God just showed me in a dream. And then I woke up, really woke up. And I said, but God, I didn't do that. What are you trying to tell me? I've always been told if you dream a dream in a dream, within a dream, God is talking to you. And God began to have me go over in my mind when she was born. 2 weeks before she was to be born, I was coming back from my mom's house, and I hit a place in the road that caused the car to rock from side to side. I literally thought we were going to flip. And I had my two-year-old in the car and me. And it jarred my big tummy, really jarred. And the next morning, the birthing began, so to speak. And when I went to the hospital, the doctor said, this baby's not going to be born for a while, but it'll be a dry birth. So we'll have to put you in the hospital. And he said, now I'm fixing to go on vacation, so you'll have to have another doctor. And that terrified me. And I begged him, no, don't go on vacation till my baby's born. So he decided to give me an IV to cause the baby to come forth early. So they, induced. They induced my labor. And God said, what is abortion? He said, it is inducing labor before the time. And that's what happened. So the minute I got the revelation and my daughter and I prayed, from that point on, she never was yanking on her hair. She has thick hair now and very pretty hair. She's a beautiful young lady. You see, the devil somehow gets in on us. We fight a devil who tells us, this looks ugly about you, that looks ugly about you. He's a liar. God says, everybody who has salvation is beautiful. Did you know that? He speaks about the beauty that comes from salvation. We knew a young girl that was born and she developed elephant's disease. You know, they have those big knots and growths and tumors all over their body. I would run into her at the store and say hi, and she was so hateful and mean and wouldn't want to look at me. And one day I ran into the store and I saw her and I said, "Good afternoon, Karen." I would always be bubbly towards her and make sure I said hello. And she looked me in the eye and said, "Hi, Pastor Bird, how are you?" And I thought, man, she's never done that. I said, "Karen, you got born again, didn't you?" She said, "Yes, ma'am. How do you know?" I said, "Because you radiate. You're beautiful." That girl had a jaw way out here. She had a knot up here. She was beautiful. There is a beauty that comes with salvation. Yes. And we're not ugly if we're born again. Yeah. The devil will say. But I don't think that girl ever saw herself ugly from the time of her salvation. She was a woman when that happened. I don't think she even thought about it. She just knew she was loved. She knew she was loved. Hallelujah. We have a wonderful Jesus. And what about the child that's born with a deformity? A mom came and asked me to pray for her son, and I told Daniel, I was reading it last night. I brought some of my old testimonies and things, and I said, I cannot for the life of me remember who this is. But what I had written down was, when I went to pray over the child, God gave me the exact words the mother had said when she saw her son. Well, you know, when God gives a word of knowledge, there is power. That little boy was set free from whatever was his behavior thing, 100%. The mama was just weeping. And she said, "You spoke my very words." And I had just asked God, "God, how do I undo what those words have done to my child?" Did you know God undoes our mistakes? He is so wonderful. Now, she had to pray, just like I had to pray over my daughter. God, what caused it? Then I had to be sensitive when the dream came. This woman had to be available to come to the meeting. A lot of people could have their answers to their prayers a whole lot quicker if they were regular at church. Because when we're under the corporate anointing, God can move through a word the pastor says, through the words of the song. Man, the songs for today were so good for this lesson. What were they saying but who we are in Christ and what Jesus has already done for us, what we can walk in. And when we saturate ourselves with that, it begins to push out everything that shouldn't belong there. I just want to look to see if... Well, here's one other testimony. I love to tell the testimonies because sometimes that's where we identify. But I went to pray with this one young lady who couldn't get pregnant, was having issues. And I had these strange words come as I prayed. "Father, I just release her from what her grandmother and grandfather said. They thought she was just a piece of clay." We're from a clay area. "Just a piece of clay and didn't realize she was a diamond." What I didn't know was her mother got pregnant before she was married as a teenager. Her grandmother and grandfather thought it was just an illegitimate baby, and they didn't realize this was a jewel that God had given them. We had a set of parents that came to see us because they found out their teenage girl was pregnant, and they were just brokenhearted. And I said, "I know you won't understand this. Right now it's hard, but in a few years, you won't even think about the circumstance because you're going to love this child with all your heart." You know, the babies, they're innocent and they're so precious and they're so wonderful. And that's true. And so we don't ever want to release ugly words. If I know society today, if all of y'all were in your early 20s, you'd think, boy, she's an old fogey to even put it that way. But back in my day, if you got pregnant out of wedlock, it was a hard thing. But we still, when that baby comes, that baby is precious. There was a lady that came to our service when I was in Illinois speaking. And God had me call her out. She was tall. She was a blonde-headed lady, big bone, big girl, pretty good lady. And I began to prophesy to her how God said he made her strong and tall and with long fingers. And I hadn't even looked at her hands, but she had long fingers and all of this. And God spoke to her stature. And she just began to weep and to weep. I got a letter about a week or two, probably 2 weeks later, with a $100 bill in it. And I thought, I better read this letter. It's got a $100 bill in it. And she said, all of my life, I've thought I was so tall, so gangly, and my fingers were so long and so ugly, not pretty and petite like my girlfriends. And she said, I've always chewed my fingernails off because I thought my hands were so ugly. She said, for the first time, I've got fingernails. And she said, and I don't feel those same feelings towards my body. She said, I don't know what happened. When you begin to express the beauty of my bones, the beauty of my fingers, the beauty of my height, and it all being a part of God's plan, she said, I got set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who knows why you have the neighbor you have? Is it someone that you're to encourage with a kind word and encouragement about who they are, what you see in them? You know, I've got to where I will even tell people who wait on me, I love your smile. Thank you for your friendliness as I get here. And sometimes they'll tell me, you know, that's the first kind word I've had all day. There's a lot of things we can do to say to people or to smile at people that never get smiled at. And they're simply realizing somebody saw me today as a human being. I've asked God, God, keep me aware of that. And I have fun when I go to the restaurant sometimes because God lets me say something. We were at a Italian restaurant. And this young waiter that was waiting on us, every time he'd come over, I'd just feel God's heart for him. And I thought, God, what are you trying to say? And he gave me just a couple of sentences to say to him. And his eyes teared up, and he thanked me and left. And when we got through eating, he came back with two more people and said, would you pray for them? They would like a word too. Well, what I didn't know was God had said to this first young man that it's going to be okay, everything's going to work out. His wife had told him she was divorcing him and had moved out of the house. And there the Spirit of God was saying, don't be down. I'm at work in your situation. He was a Christian. He'd been praying for God to work things out. We never know. We never know who it is that God has for us to speak to. The lady back, let's see, right by you is that thing. Yeah, long hair. You. God is encouraging you today. He says there is a value within you that you have not seen. And there's been times he's let you say things and do things that have touched people and blessed people. But today God says, I just want to say to you how special you are. How you were brought forth for divine purposes. And because of the gentleness that's in your heart, You have been willing to speak and to reach out and touch. And God says, well done, my daughter. Well done, my daughter. For truly, the Lord loves you. And truly, you are special to Him. You know, sometimes you can think everybody else is special because God has, you do this for this one or this for this one, and you're not always the receiver. But God says, well done, daughter. Well done. Hallelujah. 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 Lady over here in the black sweater, pretty girl with a smile. Yes, that just looked around to see who's behind. Your best days are ahead. You haven't begun to step into some of the things that God has for you, partly because you've been busy with life and hadn't been thinking that much of God's divine purpose. But God said things are beginning to happen where it's going to be those your age and even those younger than you that He is going to be using. He said, now's the time to start thinking. God, what is your plan for me? He said, it's okay to have a long-range plan. You're going to go be trained for this. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. But He said, also think on what is the immediate plan that God has for you. For you're going to see God begin to put things in your heart that will take place in 5 to 10 days. Your life call is not 5 years down the road. God will put you in places, and because of the things you've gone through yourself, you will understand how important kindness is, how important words of encouragement are. You will understand. And therefore, He can trust you to be faithful to speak what He would have you to speak. There are people that will know themselves as clumsy, but you won't ever call them, you clumsy thing. You might laugh and call them grace, but that's wholeness. So it's okay. Say, come on, grace, instead of, hey, clumsy. It'll make a difference in their life. And there will be times down the road where people will say, do you remember the day when you did such and such? You will never know what it did to my heart. You are going to hear results of what God let you say and do to people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The black sweater. You have a sweetheart. You love God's people, and you want to be God's servant. And He said, be alert. That's His word for you. Be on the alert, for He is going to use you with words of kindness. It's interesting. I'm hearing that word. That's the third time. Y'all must be an awfully awesome group of people because you're going to be able to release words of kindness, God said. But there's a spirit of discernment that is going to begin to work in greater measure. And you're going to discern the left from the right when it looks like they're right in the middle. There's going to be a discernment that's very important. And it's going to enable you to call out truth. Now, this is real interesting what I'm seeing in the spirit realm. There are some people that when you look at them, you would think they have it all together. Or you would think they're a certain way. But God said, it's not the same as a critical spirit, but it's going to be truth. You're going to see truth. They look like they're happy and full of joy, but their heart's about to break. And you're not necessarily going to say that. But what you say is going to bring life to a broken heart. Our heart that's heavy. So you begin from this point on to say, thank you, God, for that gift of discernment. In 1984, Oral Roberts said, every believer needs to begin to believe God for the gift of discernment. He said, in end times, if we don't have it, we'll be led astray. And someone, like there was a guy came in the church, and Daniel has real good discernment when a wolf walks in. Me, I think everybody's so sweet and inviting, just get them healed. They'll just be awesome. And he said, that's a wolf. Y'all go pray that that wolf is not coming to our church. Well, we prayed, and so the wolf and his gang didn't come back. They went down the street to another church, and Yelly destroyed the church. He looked like this tremendous prayer warrior, this godly man. He was nothing but someone looking for a church ready-made that he could take with him. So he took half the church, and Yelly destroyed it. And the pastor was telling us later about it, and Daniel said, oh, he came to our church, said, I spotted him right off and got my prayer warriors together. And we said, God, if this isn't your divine appointment for him to be in our church, he's not coming back. And he said, I wish I'd have had that discernment. You see, sometimes something looks good and it's not safe. You're going to know safety. And especially where children are discerned, it's not safe to let them go here. Everything looks good, but it's not safe. Trust the Holy Ghost within you. And you don't do any condemnation. You just stand on your grounds. No, they're not going there. I don't have to give you a reason. Just not going. Discernment's coming. You are so beautiful, the young mama-to-be again. So beautiful. And the baby within you is so special. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a knitting that God is about to do between the two of you. And you may think, we've got it good. You're going to have it better. There are some things from your upbringing that God is going to make whole. Some things that affect maybe how you think you're capable or not capable. God said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're an awesome mother and you're an awesome wife. And believe it or not, you're an awesome housekeeper. You may not think so, but that's what God says. That's what God says. Now he says, start agreeing with God. God, I thank you that you show me what's important. You know, some people think to be an awesome housewife that you have to have everything in perfect order and there can't be a cobweb anywhere. That doesn't make you an awesome housewife, okay? Or a keeper of the house. What is awesome is when we can take good care of our children. We can provide their meals like they need. We can provide their encouragement and the house be where we can get through it at least. That's more important than no dust.
That's right.
Okay. And as you choose the important things, your God is rooting for you and so are your angels. And there's been many a times I had to pray, God, would you give me the wings of the angels to get this house done? Companies come and God. And he does. He does. He's going to show you what's important. Hallelujah. 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 And there's sometimes you may find out, husband, you're just as good a housekeeper as anyone else. When I grew up, the men didn't think they ever did anything. But you know what? Vacuum cleaners work good in a man's hand. Men know how to do the dishwasher.
Yes, they do.
And sometimes they pretend they don't. But it's all a part of teamwork. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all are going to be a beautiful testimony. You already are. But even more beautiful of how two people who love God can flow together and touch our nation.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kind of behind her Yeah, you. God says that there are some wounds that you've just kind of given up on. It just seems like that's just the way life is. But he says, no, my precious daughter, I don't leave a single thorn when someone sits before me to be healed. And I see you just sitting down, just you and God. And I see him saying to you, see right there, do you remember when such and such happened? Let's take that thorn out right now. And I want you, when that happens, to do a symbolic act. Just say, I take it out, God. It will not be abscessed in me. It will not hurt me anymore. For Jesus, you are my healer. Hallelujah. And you're going to see it slowly, thing by thing. And you're going to learn to walk in the freedom. You see, there's a freedom when wounds are removed. Because when the wound is there, we're kind of shy to do a certain thing, or we're more reserved. We're not as bold because we don't know if we're going to get smacked down like we got smacked down the first time. And God said he's going to take the wound out, allow you some opportunities to be bold in that area where you wouldn't have been for fear. And you're going to realize, I'm not afraid anymore. There's nothing man can do to me. My God is my healer. And as you go along, you're going to come to a place where you feel so whole. And all you can do is just lift your hands. The healer is in the house. And he's beginning now. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. Would you come up here, honey? I want to lay my hands on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I put my hand right there? Okay. Oh, Father, I break the power of every spirit of rejection. I break the power of every negative word, every put down that has been sent against her. I release it from her. And Father, we declare even the words of the teacher were not words from you. And therefore, we destroy those words and those memories in Jesus' name. Father, I set her free from the word that every man has spoken, that's put a self-image that's not truth, that has brought rejection that wasn't from you. God, rejection's not from you. It's never. I'd lose her right now. I thank you that that spirit is going right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for deliverance, God, and freedom. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you are beautiful. You're not a mistake. You're not a mistake. God intended you to be a beautiful woman for such a time as this. He put it at a time when women are allowed to be his servants and allowed to do things and allowed to have a good math brain, a good science brain, whatever. And it's because of God's timing and plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This young man in the plaid shirt, you just looked down. You. No, the plaid. You. Yeah. Hallelujah. God says to tell you how much he loves you. You know what the word says and you know what the preachers say, but the reality has never really gone down in you. And you block off the thoughts that the devil would try to say, like, well, if God really loves you, then why? We live in a world that because man opened the door to Satan, and Satan became the god of this world, he's not a good God. Bad things happen. But your God loves you deeply. Hallelujah. I break the power of the spirit of death that came in during some hard times, times you would like to have escaped having to face it and live with it and all of that. God said those are door openers to a spirit of death. And the enemy tries to take them and bring destructive things into our life. But God says, you are being set free today. You may not understand that one for a time to come, but there will be a day when you are going to say to the devil, no, devil, no. I have purpose. I have reason to live. I have not yet fulfilled my destiny. Be on the lookout, because you're going to get a revelation of an anointing that's upon your life for certain things for the kingdom of God. And I don't understand that. But as that revelation comes, living is going to be fun. We think we have the best life. He's almost 81 and I'm 78 and we're full time. We're working full time for the Lord. Oh my goodness, I've got to travel over so much of the world. And I think, what joy it is to live, to be alive. And some of y'all are going to get some open doors to it. You, second row. You. Hallelujah. 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 God's anointing has not yet blown you out of your chair. Now, those are strange words. See, I just speak what I hear the Lord say. But it's like you're going to get a touch of God that's going to take you from where you've been stuck into the place where He has for you to go. Because you don't yet have the vision that is the fullness of what God wants you to do. Sometimes we only look far enough to have a job that provides for us, provides for those we're to provide for, whatever. But God said He's going to cause you to see beyond and see future. And it's going to cause you to get some training in an area that you don't have right now. I don't know if it means you have to go back to school or you have to be apprenticed, so to speak. But God is going to put in your heart something that will cause you to need some more training, and it's to prepare you for what He has for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I break the power of a spirit of slumber that has resided in your life, that has kept you blind to some of the spiritual things that are for you. Okay? And right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I just command that spirit of slumber to come off of his mind and his spirit, and to release him to begin to see the joy of your plan for his life. Hallelujah. Father, where in the pecking line did you come in your family? Which sibling? Uh-huh. Okay. I knew you weren't the first. But I couldn't tell. How many kids?
Just two.
Two? So you're the youngest of two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 7 years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because of the way the timing came and the dynamics of the family and all of that, there's been like a case that I see over you in the spirit that has kept you from reaching full potential that God has for you to reach. And this day, that cage is being removed. And you're going to be able to look at what God has for you. You're not under anyone else's shadow. You're not under anyone else's domain, so to speak. You're going to step into the plans that God has for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A lot of times people are adults before they go learn a musical instrument, for example. And yet that was always something they would have liked to have done, but family dynamics often hinder what we would do. Not that the family wasn't good. I don't mean that. But the dynamics just were such that it's like we stayed under a covering And you're going to get free, and you're going to do some things that are going to bring great joy to your life. Absolutely. Hallelujah. You're so pretty on the front row. I love your smile. I love the love of God that pours out of you. It oozes out of you. Hallelujah. There's going to be people who say to you, you remind me of so-and-so. And God wants you to know, every time you hear that, someone just saw Jesus. They just saw Jesus through your eyes, through your smile, or through your kindness. For you have a gentle spirit that when people see you, they just feel like they knew you. Who is it you remind me of? And he says, don't feel bad about not being unique. They're seeing Jesus. And that's what God wants. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The gentleman behind her with the gray shirt, or is it blue shirt, with your glasses on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quite a few years ago, you had some events in your life that brought pain to your heart. And you toughened up some areas of your heart to protect yourself. Because sometimes there's things we think we can't change, or maybe it's our fault, or I don't know what the thoughts were. But I just know that God is saying you actually tightened up yourself on the inside. And you're fixing to see a breakthrough that's going to come. And it was because of some inner vows that you made maybe 20 or 30 years ago. And I don't know what it is, but God is going to show you. And when he does, you may have some dams break loose. But it's okay if men cry. Okay? It's okay. And it means that God is making us whole. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. I was in a class where they told us we had to turn to the person to our right and give a prophetic word. I don't like to do that. I like to have the Spirit of the Lord come upon me and then the word. And I was the last one to have to give it. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And when I turned to this man, all I said is, God says to tell you it's okay if men cry. I stood up, picked up my books, and walked out of the class because I felt like I failed. That was just what I didn't know was he and his wife had had a miscarriage, and they were preachers. And they were told that preachers don't cry, that they teach that they'll see that baby in heaven and they're supposed to be strong. He said he wept all the way from Tulsa to Colorado Springs. Wept the whole way as he drove home. And when he got home, he told his wife, it's okay if we cry. We had a loss, and it's okay. And God healed him. And there are things that maybe we blame ourselves that it happened. Or maybe we don't understand, like with miscarriages, we don't understand. But it's okay. And it's okay for a man to cry. And it's okay to encourage our young boys when they cry. That's okay. You're still a man. You're still a man. Hallelujah. I hadn't looked at the time. Do we have a timetable? Do I have to stop? I just love to do this. You pretty smiling lady on the second row next to the guy that got, are you his wife? Would you step out? God says you're about to get the desires of your heart. There are some things that are heart's desire that maybe you don't talk about to everybody, but God is about to bring an answer to that. Hallelujah. And there's physical healing going through your body right now. And it's starting at the top of your head. And it's flowing downward. And I believe you're going to begin to feel it like electricity, but there it went upward. Are you feeling something in your legs? Is it like you're in an electrical field kind of, and then a cold wind? Could you feel that?
Yep.
You're feeling it. Okay. The anointing is going up and down in your body, and your right arm, move it. I don't know what, if it's to do with the nerves or what, but there's something being set free that affects your right arm. Now it's going right back here into your back, probably over your kidney. I'm not real good in the biology. I was the math lady, and he's the biologist. Hallelujah. But there's healing going through your body. Now it's in your knees and your scalp. Oh, thank you, Father. Now, anytime it goes to the scalp like that, there's nerves that have been damaged. Like if, I don't know if you could have fallen and hit your head or got hit in your head bad or what, but something got corrected up to your brain, and it may start feeling like bugs are crawling in your hair, but it means the nerves are coming alive, and you just begin to thank God for it. I don't know what His plan and His purpose is, but you're at the right place at the right time on the right day, for God's grace is going through you, and there's deliverance coming right now. Something's coming out right now. You spirit of hopelessness, I break your power. I command you out. Yes. You will loose her in Jesus' name. Every wound, I break your power. You will not hold her in bondage. We set her free. Thank you, Father. Thank you for grace. Thank you that you're healing her knees, Father God. And the lower back, Father, thank you. There will be no more pain, devil. I command her legs to be the same length. In Jesus' name, spine line up, nerves be released. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
You're a pretty lady. I love your eyes.
Thank you.
They're alive. I never would allow intelligence test, IQ test, in their 28 years of school. I refuse to put anybody under a bondage of your IQ is blah, 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 because I think everybody's IQ can come up in Jesus.
Amen.
And we saw it. But I can tell IQ by eyes. You've got a high IQ, honey. I don't know what your grades were in school, but you could go back to school and do whatever you want. You've got the mental ability, I guarantee you. Hallelujah. And God wants you to know that. I don't know if God's going to put y'all in a new line of work or promote you, but I see you coming up. And it has to do with work or employment kind of type of thing. Hallelujah. On the back row. You just looked around. Hallelujah. Jesus says to say to you, I love you. I love you. And I love to hear you when you sing to me. And I love to hear the times that you just stop and adore me. And God said, not one word has gone unnoticed. Nor has it gone unnoticed that it's even during times that are hard times. You've never abandoned your relationship with the Lord, and you're being healed right now from some of the wounds that made you feel inadequate. But He said, oh, you're more than able.
Hallelujah.
For you can do all things through Him who strengthens you. And you're seeing a strengthening and a healing be released. And I don't understand why, but it's going to affect you on one side of your face. And your neck and your jawbone. I don't know if there's been a nerve issue. I have no idea. But I know that He is touching you. And it will affect from here up into your jaw. May have to do with the tooth. I don't know. But there's healing. is being released. And in your sinuses, God says, healing is being released. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Back there you have red. Yeah, you just looked over at somebody. That's you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you have grandchildren? How many? Two? You're a good influence. You have an opportunity with these grandchildren to bring changes in their life, changes for good. And I don't know why and I don't know how, but he just wants you to know that grandparents are very important and our prayers affect their lives all the way to the times when you've already gone. They're still being affected by the prayers that you pray. So there's nothing that you do for them in Christ that isn't of value and that there isn't a result. And you're going to have the privilege of seeing a lot of good results that come from your prayers. Don't ever think, oh, the kids are doing so great, I don't need to pray. God said, be one who prays the future. Be one who prays down the kingdom for your children. Amen. Be one who prays for victory when we don't even yet know that they're going to need a victory. Your prayers, God wants you to know, are going to count. Hallelujah. 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 And you over in that black shirt that I just talked to. Oh my, God loves you, honey. He loves you. Somehow you have not felt the embrace of God, but you're about to. You're about to. And you need to make sure you get yourself in the Word. If you don't every day, make sure you do. You're going to get to certain places in the Psalms where you're just going to feel God. And there's an anointing to write that will come. Begin to write down, journal. You will enjoy it. That's a funny way to put it, but you will enjoy going back and reading what you journaled and what God was beginning to show you. And I've never heard God put it this way, but you're even going to see in color. So I don't know if he means you're going to see certain colors or certain things of the future and know what color. I don't know. But I see a lot of blue. A lot of blue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Can I pray for you right on the corner? You? Would you come and let me lay hands on you? Would you mind? I'm not doing a lot of walking because of the brace, you know. I'll meet you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus loves you.
I know he does.
Yeah, you do.
He does.
Yes. Father, I thank you that healing is going into this gentleman's body right now. Father, you know every cell and every tissue that needs to be restored and made whole. Mm-hmm. I thank you, Father, that even into the joints, the fire is being released to go into them to bring new strength. And Father, into his heart. Father, I just command every vein, every vessel, every part of this heart, you be made whole. You be renewed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for healing and life. Father, thank you. He has the mind of Christ, all wisdom, all knowledge. Father, you made him a promise that those that entwine themselves about you, they will find their youth renewed and their strength renewed. Mm. Father, thank you. He'll be able to run if he wants or walk if he wants, but he will outdo even those younger than him. For you are bringing new strength, new healing,
hallelujah,
new heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You're welcome. Jesus loves us.
Yes.
This I know.
Yes.
For the Bible tells us so. But if we don't read the Bible, we don't know that Jesus loves us. Hallelujah. 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 I feel like I'm to quit. Okay. But we'll be back tonight.
Tell them what you're teaching.
Well, I can tell them what I think I'm teaching on, but we'll get more healing. We'll just put it that way.
We know that. Praise the Lord.
Or maybe we'll have a Holy Ghost fun time.
It'll be great. We know that. Have you been blessed this morning?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Listen, for those of you that received words from Dr. Paula, you need to understand that when someone speaks by the Spirit of God, it's as if Jesus was standing here speaking to you. And that word carries authority. That word has within it the power to perform. So whatever was spoken to you, if, for example, I know Ashley and Zach, she said some things about new opportunities opening up. That word carries authority. That's not just her opinion. That's not just a nice opinion being spoken over you. That's the authority of the Lord, which means it opens exactly what it says it's going to do. It's God is opening those opportunities to you. So receive that as the authority of Jesus. You know, the Bible says that he has the keys of David. He holds the keys of David. It's a symbol. It's a picture in the Bible of Jesus having the ability to unlock in our lives things that have been locked up. And to open things that have been closed to us in the past. So those of you that received words today, go home, write this down. I think Terry's recorded several of them. It's in the general recording that's here, but you won't know who it is that's being spoken to. But we got specific words recorded on Terry's phone. But anytime you're in a service like this, I'll encourage you, when you come back tonight, this is the one time in church we encourage people to have their cell phones handy and to be messing with their phone. Put that recorder memo thing in place. And if Sister Paula starts prophesying over you tonight, then you turn that recorder on and you've got that word saved. And you can go back and listen to that year after year after year and be encouraged by it. And Paul told Timothy, he said, by the prophecies that were given to you, you can war a good warfare. Because sometimes we go right from the beauty of the mountaintop experience in the Lord's presence right into a storm. Jesus did that. He went right from the Transfiguration mountaintop into the storm of having to deliver a boy who was demon-possessed. So you got to be ready for the storm. Keep that word handy, and it'll help you fight through the storm of life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we thank you all for coming. We have a couple of announcements. Don't rush off just yet, but we have several announcements, and I forgot to give them earlier, so I'm going to ask Pastor Ryan, our new youth pastor, give him a big welcome as he comes to give the announcements this morning. Come on, Ryan.
Thank you, sir. The anointing pretty strong up here today, huh?
Yeah.
What do you think? Was it good?
Amen.
That was good. Maybe thank you. Sorry, my paper's all messed up here. So we heard from Dr. Paula Bart this morning. And she's going to be back tonight. She mentioned that already. But I do want to announce that there is no child care for tonight. So we're one big happy family, and we're going to be a family tonight. So don't let that be a reason to not come, though. Bring your kids. I mean, you know, it's great to train up your children in the house of the Lord under the anointing. And so bring them. That's tonight. 6 o'clock tonight. Yep, 6 o'clock. And right here, right in this building, we'll be all set up here. We'll have worship, and we'll go from there. This Wednesday, yeah, we are into June. Do you believe that? So we are going to start, Pastor is starting a series in June for families. And so we're going to have a couple of different speakers throughout the time of the month of June. So we're going to make it family month. The world has their own idea for what the month of June is supposed to be. But this is going to, we are dedicating this to the Lord and to families. So. Yeah, which is great. I'm so excited that we're doing this because, exactly, yes, countering that, yes. This Saturday, normally on the first Saturday of the month, we do our men's breakfast. We're going to postpone that to the following Saturday. So write that date down. It'll be June the 11th, and we'll be at the Marinos at 8 a.m. sharp. The Merinos right in Friendswood, off of, what is that road, 528? So I'm getting good. I'm learning my way around here. We don't have farm-to-market roads in Michigan, so so I'm learning this this new lingo here. So finally, we have, Alan, if you can put up the first slide here. Since this is going along with our family, yes, this is the right one. Thank you. We are starting a junior youth service, and this is going to be on June the 12th. We're going to have these once a month, and they'll be right during the morning service on Sundays. So basically, we'll dismiss after worship. We'll go back to the back. We'll have some things set up there. And, you know, along the lines of the family, you know, it's very important to, you know, train up your children. I was reading in Isaiah, and, you know, it's part, I love this verse where it talks about, you know, it starts out kind of gloomy, right? It says, you know, talking about the end times and that it's going to be darkness on the people and gross darkness on the people, right? I mean, we've seen a lot of darkness out there right now, and it is gross, you know. And but I love that the verse doesn't stop right there, right? It says, but the glory of the Lord will come upon them. And so for our children, you know, they are right in the thick of it. You know, sometimes we say, I say to our children that this is, you know, they have it so much harder, or there's so much more demonic activity. And there is. This is the end times. There's no fooling about that. But you know what? Jesus is greater than all this. The Lord, the glory will rise upon it. It is, and they have the tools. They can fight it. We don't have to feel bad for our children that they are in this situation, you know, that all this gross darkness out there. They can overcome it, and they will overcome it. So that's the first one. The second one, let's put the other one up there. We're going to have a summer kickoff, and this is for both youth. So we have a junior youth and a senior youth. This will be all combined. This will be a Saturday, June 18th. So that will be that following Saturday from the previous Sunday. This will be at my house, the Schneider House. So the address is there. You can see me if you have any questions. Write my phone number down. Contact me. We're going to have a good time there. Have some games, have some things, teach some word. We'll have some food, too. So you don't have to go come there and go hungry. So I believe that's all of them. And Pastor? Yep.
Thanks. Thank you, sir, very much. On this, very excited about the Christian Family series we're starting in June. Let me say this about family, because some of you in here are not married or you're single. You're in a situation right now where you don't have kids or grandkids around you like some of the other folks in the church. In the kingdom, we all have a role to play. If you're of a certain age, a certain maturity in life, you are a father spiritually. You are a grandfather spiritually. You are a mother in the house of God. You are a sister in Christ. We all play this role. And so whether you have natural children or not, the Christian Family series will relate to you, because as you go out into the world, God will bring children across your path, or people across your path. You are to mother, you are to father, you are to grandfather, etc. So this doesn't just play out in the natural. So please encourage you to come. It's exciting because we're going to implement all of our weapons. Pastor Ben here is going to preach one Wednesday. Pastor Ryan, we're going to have Lewis Cowan share one Wednesday night. Even young Zach Schneider will be speaking. So it's June month, the family month. It's going to be a variety of speakers, and it's just going to be great. So come join us 7 p.m. on that. All right, let's all stand together. Praise the Lord. Hey, the Methodists haven't beat us by that much to Luby's, so, you know, you're not that late. Don't worry. All right. We'll see you back here at 6 o'clock tonight. Listen, the investment in your life and your spirit tonight will be invaluable. I know it's not Super Bowl Sunday, but whatever's competing with our service tonight in your schedule, in your mind, it pales in comparison to what the Holy Ghost can do. In 5 minutes in God's presence can change your life forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for the gifts, Holy Spirit, that you've released through Dr. Paula. We thank you, Lord, for the effect of those words in our life, that they are seeds of life that will bring change and power and victory. And we rejoice with all those that received them. We rejoice in all that you're doing here in our lives together. And we thank you, Jesus, for your great grace upon us. Bless us now as we go. Thank you for your protection and keeping over us, and your blessing upon the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. We'll see you tonight.